This week on America Interrupted from the PBS NewsHour, our reporters share what they saw as they covered the attack on the Capitol.
I was looking at the front door to the U.S. Capitol, and faces of, you know, that mob pressed right up against the glass, trying to break in.
An intimate look at what happened that day.
It was the culmination, really, of President Trump's lies, his allegations, all of the false things that he's been telling his supporters.
And what they and the country will remember.
In all the stories that I've done and all the places that I've been, I've never, ever found it as difficult as it is right now to explain to my girls what's going on in this country we call home.
Listen and subscribe to America Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts. And Lisa joins me now from the Capitol. So, Lisa, you've been telling us that this was not an easy decision for many Republicans. Tell us a little bit more about the 10 who voted to impeach and why.
That's right. The vast majority of Republicans, nearly 200 of them, voted not to impeach. But let's talk about those 10 who voted to impeach. Let's look at who they were. Here is the list of those 10 House Republicans who voted to impeach the president. Now, these districts range from Liz Cheney's in Wyoming, which voted by 46 points for President Trump in 2016, to John Katko's in New York, which voted for Hillary Clinton, conservatives to moderates. What these folks have in common, Judy, from their statements today, is they feel that the president did, in fact, directly a call for these attacks on the Capitol, that he is directly responsible, and that it's an impeachable offense. Now, these members also know that it is a great political risk for many of them, facing possible primary challenges from the right because of this in 2 years, but also potential personal threat to them as well. We have seen some increases in those threats here at the Capitol.
And Lisa, I want to ask you about that because, again, during the day you were reporting on the mood there at the Capitol, this sense of tension, worry about threats that have been thrown around in connection with all this.
Judy, there has been unease at the Capitol for a long time, but in the last week, that has grown into straight out alarm. And while people have gotten threats throughout the Trump presidency, both sides, we have seen the number of threats, especially against Republicans, rise. I want to play a soundbite from Republican Dusty Johnson of South Dakota from the special program we had earlier, and he spoke to you. He talked about the threats he himself is receiving just in the last 24 hours.
Just today, just this morning, one of my offices received a threat against my life, and I've received other threats against my safety. My address, a picture of my home where my family lives, was posted on kind of an anti-Dusty Facebook page.
About the impeachment vote, and they really did believe that a vote for impeachment was something that could put themselves and their family at personal risk. The same time, they all took it seriously as well on a philosophical level. This was a political and personal, very difficult decision for many of them. It has been a difficult mood here today at the Capitol. Sad, also some fear. But I do want to point out one bright spot. Just a few minutes ago, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi signed the article of impeachment to get it ready for the Senate. That's not the bright spot necessarily, but she signed it on, she used the podium that had been stolen from her, from her chamber, by the rioters. That was brought back, and she used it as clearly a statement that the House is back in full operation.
Yeah, really interesting and good to see that that was received, that it was returned to the Capitol. And Lisa, finally, what about the Senate? I mean, this does now go to the Senate. What do we know about what happened there?
So much to say. Many fascinating developments there, Judy. Today, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell said he is open to impeachment, but he has not decided for it yet. He also let it be known that he will not sign on to a fast trial, meaning the soonest a trial could happen in the Senate is after the Senate reconvenes. That next date is January 19th, the day before inauguration. McConnell and his staff, those around him, are making it clear that he does not think it is all at all conducive to governing, to have impeachment go on before inauguration, that he wants to try and have a stable transition of power, and that an impeachment before President-elect Biden takes office would not be helpful to that. So it's now clear that the Senate will move forward with a trial after President-elect Biden takes office. And we know several Senate Republicans are undecided, among them Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania. And another question to be resolved, there will be a debate, can you impeach a president after he has left office. There is some precedent, but there will be debate.
Seems like a lot is unclear about where this goes from here on. But Lisa Desjardins reporting on it all. Thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome.
And now we go to our Yamiche Alcindor. So, Yamiche, President Trump becomes the first president in American history to be impeached twice. What do we know about how he is reacting to this?
Well, President Trump is furious at the idea that his marred legacy became even more tarnished today as he became the first president to be impeached twice. The president spent much of the day watching TV, watching the impeachment vote and debate play out on TV. The president, in some ways, was really lashing out at people because what he saw were Republicans saying that he betrayed his oath of office, of course, along with Democrats saying that he is a walking impeachment offense. The president also just, in the last few seconds, released a 5-minute video where he says that no supporter of his would be involved in any sort of violence or any sort of attacks on law enforcement. He also says, though, that he's very worried about this free speech issue, saying that there are attempts to cancel people and to try to unfairly target people for free speech. There were some defenders of the president who were talking about free speech, but I have to tell you, he is talking about a small group of people defending him because the number of people that I talked to today, they say even if this is about free speech, they still believe that the president should not have said what he said.
And Yamiche, picking up on that, what do we know about how the president would deal with a Senate trial? As Lisa just reported, it's not clear that there will be one. If it happens after he leaves office. But what are they thinking? What are they planning?
Well, I spoke to a number of legal experts today, including a lawyer for President Trump, and it's clear that he's going to have some real problems recruiting lawyers. Alan Dershowitz, who at one point was one of the lead attorneys during the first impeachment, told me that President Trump had the right to say what he said, but that it was not right for him to say what he said. There are a number of other attorneys who are not going to be part of this defense, including Jay Sekulow, the White House counsel, Pat Cipollone. Alan Dershowitz also told me he's not going to be part of this defense. The only person we think of right now who's going to be part of that defense for sure is Rudy Giuliani, the president's personal attorney, who has at times spread false information. So we have to see where this goes. The defense, though, will be about free speech. They will also be arguing that this was a political hack job and a witch hunt against the president, which is what he said today in that video that he referenced and that he released today.
Yamiche Alcindor reporting on the reaction at the White House. Yamiche, thanks so much.